It is good to see everyone on this Sunday, November the 10th, 2019. We are beginning a new series today. We closed out our series on John chapter 14, verse 6 last week, and we are entering in the season of Thanksgiving. So the title of today's message is The Voice of Thanksgiving, and we'll be in Psalm 26, and we'll read verses 6 through 8. But I'm going to ask you a question as we begin today, and you'll see why in a moment as we look at the Hebrew words in this passage of Scripture. But I want to ask you, what exactly are you grateful for? What exactly are you grateful for? And how should we express biblical gratitude? And we're going to look at some of the things that have been established for us in our Judeo-Christian foundation and background. We want to apply it to our lives, and we want to be grateful children of God. I'm going to tell you, my friend, when you've got an attitude of thanksgiving that permeates your soul and your mind and your life, and daily you just want to say unto the Lord, Lord, you have been so good to me. You're going to be filled with joy. You're going to be filled with praise. Your perspective in life is just going to be 150% higher than it would be if you've got an ungrateful heart. So let's dive right in. We're going to be in this, hopefully, good Lord willing, the next 3 or 4 weeks. Psalm 26, verse 6 says this, I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your honor dwells. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we call on you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin, and I have confessed these to you out loud, as 1 John tells me. And Father, I pray for the blood of Jesus to cleanse me of all sin, as John tells us. I pray to be cleansed and anointed and filled with your Spirit and used of you. Father, I must decrease and you must increase. And Father, in humility, let me wash the feet of these people that listen today. Within this room and on this website, let me wash their feet as a servant. And Father, may your word and your truth and your Spirit minister to every heart that hears. Father, I am just a man, but your Holy Spirit is our perfect teacher. So Father, speak to all our hearts. Lord, what do I need to hear from you today? Lord Jesus, please take over. Holy Spirit, take over. In your name we pray, Father. Amen. Psalm 26, verse 7 says this, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. So the question is today, you know, what exactly are we thankful for? Am I a grateful person? How much should I be thanking God for all the blessings of life? How specific should I be? How exact should I be? What does God expect out of me in the area of spiritual gratitude? Am I a person that is grateful unto God? How do I express it and what should I do? So I want to share with you three Hebrew words, and the first one is this. Verse 7 says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. That word publish in the Hebrew is shama, S-H-A-M-A. S-H-A-M-A, and it means this. It means to announce, to vocalize, to tell, to sing out. To announce, to vocalize, to tell, to sing out. So I want you to understand this is a vocal word, Lehman. This is the same word we get in the Greek in 1 John 1, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9. I will confess my sin. Now, that's to verbalize your sin out loud. And I want to praise God. You don't have to confess to me. You confess to God Himself. When you're in your prayer closet, you say, "Brother Leo, I can't speak to God in my mind." Certainly you can. And certainly you need to. And certainly you need to have silent prayer. And sometimes you've got to have silent prayer. But the Lord gave you a voice to talk to Him. And you need to honor God with that voice. And if you see these Orthodox Jewish people at the Western Wall in Jerusalem that they call the Wailing Wall, you will see them nodding their head, whispering, whispering, whispering. They are whispering unto God. They are following the Torah. They are following the Word of God. And they know that it teaches to use your voice to pray to God, to praise God, to share with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can whisper. You can get alone in your home and whisper. You can sit on your front porch as you're driving your car. But when you're speaking something, it adds a dimension and a degree of focus that you just can't get when you're running things over in your mind. Amen. When you say out loud, "Praise Jesus," He gets blessed and you get blessed. Amen. So this is a vocal word. I will publish with the voice. There's your voice, all right? Of thanksgiving. Now, let me give you the word thanksgiving in the Hebrew. It's todah. T-O-D-A-H. T-O-D-A-H. And it means this. It means overflowing heartfelt gratitude. Overflowing heartfelt gratitude with a jubilant spirit. Overflowing heartfelt gratitude with a jubilant spirit. So there is a depth to this word. There is a depth of thanksgiving, a focus of thanksgiving, and an emotion of thanksgiving. So what do you mean? What does the overflow mean? The good Lord gave you tears for overflow. You say, "You mean, Brother Leo, I need to cry when I'm thanking God?" I'm saying, my friend, there are times where you can get so full of a grateful heart that the tears are just going to come out. Amen. God gave you emotions to relate to Him. God gave you joy. He gave you jubilation. He gave you gratitude. You've been created in the image of God. So all of your emotions tie back to the image of God. And I want you to understand, there are times when I'm praying, I get filled up. My eyes get filled up. There are times I'm thanking God, my eyes get filled up. And there's an overflow of my emotion. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen people, I saw a running back yesterday for LSU crying in the arms of his coach because they were about to beat Alabama. If you can cry over winning a football game, you can cry over the good things God has done for you. So we've got to understand that gratitude is something very serious and it's very deep. It's a depth of emotion, spirituality that we share with the Lord. Now, the third Hebrew word really nails this thing down. Now, he says this, "I'm going to publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works." That word tell is safar, S-A-P-H-A-R in the Hebrew. S-A-P-H-A-R. And as I've told you, the Hebrew and the Greek are much more expansive than the English. And when King James did this in 1611, they did the best they could. And I teach out of King James, not necessarily because it's the best translation of the Word of God. It's the one I grew up with, so I'm comfortable with it. But I study the Hebrew and Greek, so I go below the level of any translation as I try to study. But safar means this. It means to recount and remunerate with praise and celebration. To recount and remunerate with praise and celebration. So you recount and remember. That word remunerate means make a list. So when he says, "I'm going to tell of all thy wondrous works," I want you to think of two distinct songs that you're accustomed to in the church. The first one is the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Wonderful thing to say. Wonderful thing to say. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. But that is a general statement. That statement does not apply to this word. Now, the statement that applies to this word is count your many blessings, name them one by one. So what I want you to understand when you're studying this verse, it means to think back what God's done for you. You make a list in your mind and thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Amen. Now I want you to understand, my friend, I do this on a regular basis. Probably twice a week I have prayers of thanksgiving, where I get along with the Lord and I'm just praying thanksgiving. I'm not interceding. I'm not petitioning. I am praying a prayer of thanksgiving. And one of the prayers of thanksgiving that I pray, I thank God for all the churches that I've been blessed by. Yes. I've been blessed by 6 churches in my life. My home church in Charleston, South Carolina, I was in for the first 23 years of my life, Pierpont Baptist Church. And I'll thank God for that church. I think of the people that were my Sunday school teachers. I think of my preachers. And I thank the Lord for that church. That Patty went to that church. I was baptized in that church. I was married in that church. And so I'll go back and I'll thank the Lord for that church. My mom and dad taught Sunday school in that church. And then I think of Zion Baptist Church in Walterboro, South Carolina, where Patty and I first went to church when we moved there and got married, where I was called to preach, where I for the first time heard an expositor of the Word of God, Joe Youngblood, who was my pastor, and I fell in love with the Word of God. And then God changed the direction of my life and I was called to preach. And I was there about a little over 2 years. And then I think of the first church I pastored, Jedburgh Baptist Church in Somerville, South Carolina. I was there over 4 years, a little over 4 years. And I think of all the wonderful saints there that were a blessing to me. And then Clarksville Baptist Church in Brevard, North Carolina, and all the folks there. And I was there 7 years. And then I think of being interim at Green River Baptist Church, only for a year and a half. But all the wonderful folks I met there, and many of them are in this room today, that were encouragers to me and were a blessing to me. And then for the last 22 years, the Wayne County Bible Center, I thank God for this ministry and the saints that have gone on to be with Jesus and the ones that were here. And I think of Sonny Hughes and him renting us the Armory building and us being, and now Sonia's family and God using them and us getting this building. And I thank God for all of these things. And you know how long it takes me? About how long it just took me then. That's not long. And you know what that does? That lifts me up. It reminds me of how wonderful it is to be a pastor and to be in the ministry and all the blessings that have flooded my life. And I have several of those lists that I remunerate and I take before God, because I am not going to take for granted God calling me into the ministry and allowing me to be in a pulpit for 35 years. Amen. So we're either going to be grateful unto God or we're going to be ungrateful. And the Bible says to list it, thank Him, focus on it. Well, Brother Leo, is he really demanding this? God expects this. And it's not only a blessing to God, it's going to bless you. It's going to refresh you. It's going to lift you up. You are to be reminded of all the things God has done for you. Yes. Now, let me show you biblically. Go with me to Joshua chapter 4. Kelly, I thank the Lord for all my pastors. I'll go down that list and thank the Lord for all my pastors. Guess what? You only got to thank God for one. I thought about that this morning. There are folks that have grown up in this church, and for better or worse, I'm the only pastor they've had. So your list is not as long as mine. But I thank God. You know, there's so many things we can thank the Lord for. Now, in Joshua 4, verse 1. So I want you to understand that biblical gratitude and thanks, it's specific, it is exact, It's meditative, it's reflective, and it's focused. You got to stop and look back. Now, Joshua 4, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua." He said, "Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you're going to camp this night." So they're crossing into the promised land. The river Jordan's flooded. The priest is going to step in. God's going to hold the water back from where it's flowing down. It's going to dry out. They're going to walk over on dry land. And this unusual request is made that I want you to take 12 stones out of the bottom of the riverbank and put them on the other side of the river. Now go to verse 19. "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua stacked up in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, in the future, what meaneth these stones? You shall say to your children, Israel came over the Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until you were clean passed over, the same way he did when he did the Red Sea." Verse 24, "That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear and reverence the Lord your God forever." So that all the world will know what God did for us 10 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago for the nation of Israel. We are to remember specifically and exactly what God does for us.
Amen.
And the nation of Israel was given these things all the time, that they were to do these things. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. And we see the foundation of our modern day Thanksgiving. And why the pilgrims had Thanksgiving. They came here for religious freedom, as all the early settlers and all the early movements came here for religious freedom. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 39, we see the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering. And it says this: "Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath. On the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees and thick trees and willows. And you shall rejoice before the Lord God 7 days. And you shall keep a feast unto the Lord for all your generations." Verse 42, "You will dwell in tents 7 days. All that are Israelites shall dwell in those tents, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in tents when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And Moses declared the feast. So what were they to do? Once a year, everybody stopped work. Once a year, for 7 days, they camped around Jerusalem. And they remembered that God took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness. He marched quail in the camp. He brought manna in from heaven. He brought water out of the rock. He led them by a cloud by day and a fire by night. And he protected them, and he won battles for them, and he took care of them, and he provided for them. And once a year, everybody stopped and they looked back.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants me and you to do.
Yeah.
My friend, we get going in our life, and we're going 140 miles an hour forward all the time, and we never stop, we never reflect, we never look back. We don't thank God. Lord, you know, just last week, what did God do for you last week?
That's right.
And we look back and we need to say, thank you, Lord Jesus. What about that test your child had 5 years ago and you didn't know if it was going this way or that way? Every one of us in this room probably has 5, 6, 7, 8 major situations that have occurred in our life, and God has brought us through, and God has gotten us through. And during this time of the year, we need to stop and pause and reflect and thank the Lord Jesus for all the things He's done. And you need to do that weekly. And my friend, your whole attitude will change, and you'll be content, and you'll be satisfied, and you'll be joyful. You're either a grateful person or you're one of these old, poor, pitiful me guys. You know? You're either a grateful person or the world's always doing you wrong. You're either a grateful person or you're a person that thinks, oh, everything's terrible all the time. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I am blessed much more than I'll ever deserve. Amen. God's grace, God's mercy, God's wonder, always toward my life. We need to remember. Let me show you how dangerous it is to forget. Go into Revelation chapter 2. I thank the Lord every day for this. It's a no-brainer. Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, the angel, the Lord writing to Ephesus, "You have borne and you have patience, and for my name's sake you have labored and you have not quit. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent and do the first works." We forget what God has done for us. I hope every day, as Tony said, you thank the Lord Jesus for the cross of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, for Him loving you, for Him convicting you, and for your own salvation. We've got to remember. Remember those 10 lepers? God healed all 10 of them. Only one came back and said, "Thank you, Jesus." He said, "Weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? The other 9 are ungrateful. The other 9 are not going to come back and thank Him." My friend, don't be one of the 9. I want to thank God for the people He used to get me saved. I want to thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. My friend, any time your relationship starts getting cold with God, or you're feeling distant from God, you need to fall in love again with your first love. And the way you do that is by going back over in your mind how wonderful the good Lord's been to you. Yeah, amen. And lifting those things up. I mean, I'm sitting here today, Brother Bobby, and I'm thanking God for Jesus Christ. I'm thanking God for Mom and Dad that prayed with me. I'm thanking God for a Christian wife, for a wonderful son and daughter-in-law. Oh, the Lord, you have been so good to me. Do you say that often? I hope you say it all the time. Lord Jesus, you have been so good to me. You have been so good to me. And so we stop and we reflect in exact ways, and we thank the Lord. Go with me to Psalm 16. I say this to the Lord all the time. Didn't even know what it meant, and I was saying it to Him because I knew it meant something good. But I looked it up about a year ago, I guess. Psalm 16, verse 5 says this: "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. You maintain my lot in life. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reign shall instruct me in the night season." Look at what he says. He says, "The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places." You know what that means? Those are the the survey lines, like you've inherited a plot of land and you've got these survey boundaries and lines, and you look and you realize, man, I got more land than I thought I had, or boy, these views are incredible. I didn't even know we owned this section of the property. The lines have fallen unto me in goodly places. And when you think about your life, oh my goodness, you can see it as it's expanded out, and blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing of God that He has given unto you.
Yeah, amen. Thank you,
Jesus. And we're to acknowledge that. And we're to speak it out loud. Specifically. Yeah. Exactly. You know, it's like I tell you all the time, I feel sorry for folks that can't pause and thank the good Lord for the dinner.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. You mean we're just going to plow forward? Let me tell you something right now. Number one, if you got a meal in front of you today, God's giving you a job where you could buy that.
Amen.
If you got a meal in front of you today, God's giving you health where you can eat it, my dear friend. I'm not on a feeding tube. Patty's not hooking me up to something. I can actually eat something and enjoy that. Am I going to forget what God has done for me? Oh my goodness. You know, and if you're sitting down and you're in a warm home, as Judy said, we've got heat, we've got, you know, thank you, Lord Jesus. Our problem is Americans, we have this attitude of entitlement. We've always been blessed by God, and so we think we always ought to be blessed by God. And we think somehow we've done all this without the help of God. It's by the grace of God we're Americans, and it's by the grace of God we're so blessed today.
Yes.
I mean, how far has this culture gone?
Yes.
There are NBA players that make $33 million a year because they can play basketball. There are NFL players that are making $10, $12, $15 million a year because they can play a kid's game called football.
Yeah.
And they can't stand for the national anthem.
That's right.
My friend, if I was making that kind of money just because I can run and jump, I'd be on my knees weeping tears when they played that national anthem. I would be shouting out, God bless America, when they played that national anthem. There is no other nation in the world that so blesses its citizens than the United States of America. And there's a percentage of this culture that does not appreciate it. God help us. But all I can say as for me and my family, I'm not only going to appreciate the country God's given me, I'm going to appreciate the life that God has given me. Go with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And I want you to understand, my friend, I want to start at the beginning. I'm going to be exact. We just made it through the introduction, so here we go. I'm going to be exact. I'm going to be specific. And I'm going to thank the good Lord for the blessings of life. And you know what I'm going to start with? My life.
Yes.
My physical life. Look at what it says in Psalm 139 verse 13. You have possessed my organs, Lord. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows that. My substance was not hid from you when I was a single cell in secret, curiously wrought. Thine eyes did see my arms and legs before they were formed. In your book, all my members, all my facial features, all my organs, all my arms, my limbs, they were recorded. They were fashioned. You knew what I was going to look like. How precious are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number in the sand. When I awake, I am still with me. I want to thank Jesus today for physical life itself.
Amen.
For this life. God planned you. He made you. You are special. You are unique. He values you. He thinks about you constantly. You've been created in His image. He cares about you. You are always on His mind. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And Keith, I didn't earn any of that. He just bestowed all that on me. I have been created and planned by God. My life is not the result of chaos evolving from a big bang. I want you to understand that. My life, my emotions, my intelligence, my ability to reason, my ability to know God personally is not the result of happenstance. It's not the result of evolution that came out of an explosion in a universe billions of years ago. My life is well thought out and planned by the Creator of the universe before time began.
Yeah.
My friend, that ought to give you self-worth. Yeah. That ought to give you godly self-esteem and self-value. God has given me this life. He has a purpose for it. And out of gratitude, I am not going to waste it.
Amen.
I'm going to live it for His glory, and I'm going to live it for His purpose. Go with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. My life is a gift from God. Your life is a gift from God. And I want to thank you, Lord, for life itself. Do you have a bad day this week? Was it rough at work? Did you go through a difficult time? Are people not being nice to you? You in kindergarten, or are you a grown adult? Well, I don't know how bad you had a day this week, but I'm going to say something to you right now. I go by Kirtland's house twice, sometimes three or four times a day. That young lady, can't, through no fault of her own, riding in a vehicle, got hit in the backside there, has been paralyzed, has been without movement, has had brain surgeries. Now her dad has us praying that she will not lose her eyesight. This is a young lady going to high school, my friend. And her parents, I pray for their strength every day. Your bad days, they're all in your sorry perspective. They're all with your rotten attitude. They're all with your selfishness and your pride. You need to grow up spiritually, and you need to realize how blessed you are if you walked into this building today.
Amen.
And so there needs to be a spirit of gratitude. Look at what Paul says here. In Acts chapter 17, verse 23, he said, I pass by all your devotions and all your idols and inscriptions, and you got one to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. I'm going to declare Him unto you. This God made the world. He made everything in it. He is Lord of heaven and earth, and He does not live in temples made with hands. Neither is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. God doesn't need anything, but He gives to every creature life and breath and all things that they need. He is made of one blood all nations that they should seek after the Lord. Verse 28. For in Him we live and we move and we breathe and we have our being. I want you to understand, my friend, your life is a gift from God, and God gives us life. God gives us breath. We need to acknowledge it, proclaim it, and give thanks unto the Lord.
Amen.
Go with me to Psalm 42:5. You want to get exact? Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Look at what the biblical writers understood as they were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You want to get exact? You want to get specific? God has blessed us so. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. I told Keith when we were flying from Charleston to Atlanta and Atlanta to Nashville, I said, when I get off that plane in Nashville, I'm going to kiss the ground. Oh my goodness, that Friday when they had to turn the boat around, we lost 12 hours and I was convinced Friday afternoon I would not be in the pulpit last Sunday, and I just went back to the room and in 10 minutes the phone rang and God was saying, you're going to be in the pulpit on Sunday. I have thanked God, thanked Him, and I'm not going to forget what He did and who He used to do it. I bet those people may not even know Jesus, but God used them, Keith. And you know, these little things we got to understand. And we've got to give God the glory and not take it for granted. You know, Patty went through that secondhand surgery this week. And folks might say, well, she had to have another. Well, she had to have another one. But the bottom line is she didn't break her neck. She didn't break her back. She's not in a wheelchair. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We've got to be grateful unto God. I don't want any of you to stand before that judgment seat and the Lord say, you were like those nine lepers. You know, needs to be, my friend, I could almost start crying now as I'm thinking how good God's been to me. You need to thank Him and thank Him and thank. Isaiah 42 verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. He that gives breath unto the people and spirit to them that walk therein. My last breath is a gift from God. The breath I'm breathing right now is a gift from God. And my next breath is a gift from God. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, I can breathe. You know, I had Lehman, you prayed it for me. I had double pneumonia and pleurisy one time. It hurt every time I breathed. I'm not going to forget that. Brother Bobby Maples is struggling to breathe, and we're praying for Bobby, and Bobby's on oxygen now. Yeah, I'm going to take for granted I can breathe. I'm going to take for granted I can walk. I'm going to take for granted I can see. No, I'm going to thank the good Lord. I'm going to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blessings of life. Go with me to Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12. These men understood. David understood writing the Psalms. Job understood as he went through so much he was going through. You know, Lord Jesus, forgive me for the sin of ingratitude, for the sin of at times being ungrateful. You know, we've got Thanksgiving coming up here in this country. And I'm only going to go about 5 more minutes here. We've got Thanksgiving. You know what Thanksgiving is? Thanksgiving in America, it's a time for family, for food, and for football. The three F's. You're going to be so busy, you're not going to take time to thank God for anything special that day. That's why I'm preaching this right now. For the next 3 weeks, I would enter into a spirit of thanksgiving, and I would make thanksgiving a key part of my prayers. And I'm going to tell you something, Bobby, if we took the next 52 weeks, it wouldn't be enough. But focus these next 3 or 4 weeks on saying, I'm going to commit myself to be a grateful person and to express my gratitude unto Jesus Christ. And make it a season. It'll change your outlook. It'll change your attitude. Job chapter 12, verse 7. Ask now the beast, and they shall teach you, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell you. We learn so much from creation. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach you, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto you. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought all this? Creation tells us how God's created everything. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? God holds your breath in His hand. Man, I'm not going to take for granted today, and I'm sure not going to take for granted tomorrow. You got loved ones that are still living? You better hug them and tell them you love. You tell them you appreciate. Tell them how much they mean to you. Show gratitude, you know, unto God. Let me give you another one. Go to Job 33. Job 33. He's at a crossroads in his life, and he's meditating on the truth. Let my voice be the voice of thanksgiving, Lord Jesus. Job 33, verse 4 says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life." Is that not powerful? The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. That verse right there makes me want to bow down and give thanks unto Jesus. To stand in awe and reverence and worship before the Lord. I mean, to go sit out in the woods this evening and just repeat that verse. The Almighty has given me life. I praise your holy name. I want to thank God for my life. And I want to thank God for one more thing before I let you go. Go with me to Psalm 68. You ever been in a hospital? Praise God you're not in one today. Never been hooked up to an IV? Praise God you're not hooked up to the one right now. We lose perspective. I want to thank God for life. And I want to thank God for today. Today. Ken, I walked outside to watch the sunrise this morning. Had my cup of coffee, sat on my front steps. Pet and Lefty the cat. We can't let Lefty in, Connie, because he wreaks havoc. And I feel bad. I'm fixing him a bed in the basement for the cold weather that's coming up. Lefty chases my other cats and scares them. He came riding up with Poncho about 6 months ago. You know, Poncho and Lefty, they're outlaws. 100 federales say they could have had them any day. They only let him get away out of kindness, I suppose. Willie Nelson. So I named him Lefty. He looked like an outlaw. We got him fixed. Doc Bell said it was the 21st cat we've gotten fixed since we moved to Wayne County. I'm telling you the truth. $100 a pop. And I'll give somebody Lefty if they need a cat. Now, he doesn't get along with other cats, but he's great with people. But when he rolls over on his back, don't let him tempt you. Don't scratch him in the stomach. But I was sitting out there with Lefty this morning, Ken. And I was drinking my coffee. And I was telling the Lord, there's nowhere else in the world I'd rather be. Man, that's a good feeling. And I was thanking God, today, Leo, you're going to be in a pulpit. And you get to proclaim the Word of God. How blessed am I for today? And so this is what the psalmist says about today. Psalm 68 verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who every day loads us with benefits and blessings. Even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues of death and the issues of life. I want to praise God that today is a day of life. It's a day of life for all of us. And it's a day to enjoy the blessings of God daily. And you know, Jennifer, He gives us so many blessings that if we're not looking for Him, we'll miss Him. He daily loads us down. So the prayer today is, Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for my life. And then I want You to nail down some specifics. And then you want to say, Lord, help me notice every time You smile at me today. Every time You bring a special gift of blessing into my life. And I just want to say thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Let's develop this mindset in the days and weeks ahead. And let's spend time just thanking the Lord. And go back over some of those monumental events that have occurred in your life. and say, Lord, I know I've thanked you before, but I'm going to thank you again, Lord Jesus. We looked at the physical blessings of life today, what to thank God for. Next week, good Lord willing, we're going to look at a verse in Ephesians where he says, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in high places. And we're going to look at the spiritual blessings of God. And you know what number one was that came to me? God's mercy. And I started doing a study on the mercy of God and how Leo Dole really needs to thank God for his mercy. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you spend a few moments saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. And I want to ask you again, what exactly are you thankful for today? What are one, two, three, or four things you can thank the good Lord for this day?